Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour taking your calls. Across the United States and Canada, that number, 877-655-6755. We are live tonight with open lines and plenty of room for you to get in with your question. If you have a question tonight about a scripture passage, maybe there's something that you heard in church this past weekend, or you're not so sure about it, you're still asking questions, scratching your head, wondering, well, let's talk it over. Let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. If you've got a personal issue going on in your life right now, maybe in your marriage, in your church, with your kids, whatever it might be, and you're looking for that grace-based scriptural perspective, well, that's why we're here for the next half hour for you. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got a new question tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number with wide open lines and plenty of room, 877-655-6755. Well, we're going to start off tonight in the great state of Illinois, and we'll talk with Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Andrew. Say, I just loved that broadcast yesterday. It was the best I've ever heard in 2 years that I've been listening to you.
No,
and,
thank you.
And I would welcome all the time. Urge all of your listeners to check your archives. I listened to them quite a few times on the phone, but that yesterday was wonderful. But you were mentioning about your evangelism and your earlier days of being a Christian, and this is one thing that just kind of I just feel so great because I know I'm saved. And I think the only thing I could really, besides my interaction with God in prayer every day, to reach out to other people, I mean, it's tragic to think that people are going to miss out on that. And I just don't know how to be open with people about, I'm a semi-truck driver. And,
yeah.
So all by myself all the time, and nobody gets on the CB anymore, so... It just, my time is limited at truck stops, but I don't know. I'm limited more or less by my own. I don't know what it is. Just it's not negative. It's the inferiority complex or something. Tell me what would be your key point in evangelizing in my case? And
sure. Well, Bob, first of all, you know, appreciate you calling in and connecting with us, and you're welcome to call any time. You're out on the road, you get a question in your mind, you know, join us, and we'll make it into a conversation together. It's great to hear from you. And, you know, on that note, I would say evangelism in your case needs to be what is natural and normal, and you don't have to push things or force things. I'm just afraid that in the modern church, we have just murdered this thing. I mean, we've talked about evangelism till we're blue in the face, and everybody from a 6-year-old to a 65-year-old and everybody in between thinks that they need to be a master evangelist in order to earn points with God. And, you know, how can I share? How can I share? And let me tell you, I mean, our whole ministry is about sharing the good news of the gospel. But part of that good news, Bob, is that you're not under guilt, you're not under obligation, you're not under pressure to have to evangelize, you know, in every moment. You're allowed to have a conversation about other topics. You meet someone new at a truck stop, the Holy Spirit may be inspiring you to simply be hospitable and be friendly and be kind and be encouraging. If you have a cup of coffee with somebody at a truck stop and and then there's a natural progression to where you've started to have a friendship or something. I mean, you could certainly try to make an appointment with that person to crack open the Word of God and study it together, or get some of our books and put one in their hands. I know lots of people around the country, truck drivers and others, who have a stack of books at the ready, and whenever it seems like it's appropriate and natural and normal to recommend one, they put it in the hands of another person and say, here's my phone number, and reach out and let me know what you think of the book. So there's all kinds of creative ways. I know truck drivers who get together for Bible studies. You might try to figure out more about that as you stop in at your various locations. Go find the person who is one of the hosts at the truck stop, someone who's working there on a regular basis, and say, is there a weekly Bible study or a daily Bible study at this truck stop? And you might be surprised if you ask half a dozen times what you discover. But there are truck drivers all over the country that are, you know, forming communities and studying God's Word and encouraging each other, and perhaps even on a channel chatting about the grace of God, you know, just driving down the road. So I would say inquire. Ask about those opportunities at truck stops that you're familiar with. And, you know, as far as evangelism, please know, I mean, God's Word says just be ready. It says be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. So think about that gentleness and respect. You don't have to push things or force things. A lot of people can be quite annoying, and that's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always gentle and exudes respect for other people. And then notice the phrase, be ready. I mean, be ready to give an account. So that's a readiness that you can have. And maybe you'll have an opportunity once a week or once a month to, you know, someone asks you about your faith, or the conversation naturally goes there. But it's not about notches on a belt or fulfilling a quota or having to do a certain amount of evangelism. Otherwise, think about it. If that were the message, then basically we would be telling people, would you like to become a Christian, and then be pushed and forced into talking about Christianity all day long in order to earn points with God. That's not the message. The message is, would you like to become a Christian like me and enjoy the abundant life, the freedom, the peace, the joy of really knowing Jesus and the depths of His grace and His goodness, so that things just overflow out of you naturally, out of your excitement about the Lord? And there's no pressure to it. There's no guilt to it. There's no pushiness to it. So those are the marks of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit includes gentleness and kindness and self-control. So, you know, equip yourself with the Word of God. See if you can find some fellow believers to be encouraged by, even if it's once a month, just making it to that truck stop at that hour. You know, you're going to find that the encouragement of other believers is really healthy, and as is the reading of God's Word. And, you know, go to our website, keep enjoying our archives there, be encouraged in the grace of God, get half a dozen books at the ready, and you may be forming friendships that are centered on the grace of God as you pass these out and get some responses. So those are just a few creative ways to connect. And as I said, reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, couple of open lines. Plenty of room still right now, 877-655-6755. Lots of room right now. Let's go to Savannah, Georgia, and we'll talk with Dale. Hi, Dale. Oh, I guess we lost Dale, but we've got Missouri and Derek. Hey, Derek.
Oh, hi, Andrew. I'm in the truck right now. I just noticed you were talking to a truck driver, and I have kind of two questions. First, as I listened to you on satellite radio 131 Family Talk, it kind of caught my ear. And what got you to the from the works and performance based trying to please that mean God up in the sky theology to finding that God loves us and he wants the best for us, and he sent his son to die for us so that we can have fellowship in the Trinity, and which is love, joy, and peace. And you know, what was it that was there a ministry that revolutionized your thinking on that?
Okay. And yeah, go ahead.
The other question is, well, it's actually, I had to go through that myself. I came from a very, an Anabaptist Christian denomination that was very traditional. And you know, all the women wear long dresses, which I respect. I really do. They wear their hair a certain way. They have a head covering. The men, and it's almost, you know, wear a white shirt, a dark tie, you know. And, and listen, then I went out in the world, and it didn't go well for me thinking that way. But and I kind of had to go through my own little crisis to get me off of that platform to find the love of God. But as that happened, of course, I run across a good ministry that got me through the what you call the twisted scriptures, and it sounds very familiar, the testimonies I'm hearing from your ministry.
But, all right. Let me jump in, and I mean, for the sake of time, let me share a little bit and answer some of your questions. Great questions, Derek, and appreciate you calling tonight. I mean, you're absolutely right. There was a crash and burn experience for me. You say, what is it that makes the difference? How is it that I see God's word so differently today? How is it that I have a grasp on God's grace and my identity in Jesus like never before? Well, you know, for me, it was a case of crashing and burning. And what I mean by that is I tried everything they said to do. I mean, I was reading my Bible 4 and 5 hours a day. Why? Because they told me to. They said, if you read your Bible 4 and 5 hours a day, then you're going to feel close to God. You're going to have so much quiet time that you're going to feel just super clean and super close. And then I was in church every time the doors were open, not just Sunday and Wednesday, but volunteering left, right, and center. And man, if you volunteer at church and read your Bible, then you are just going to grow and feel clean and close to God. Well, there's more, they said. If you would just evangelize and do that faithfully, then you will be close to God and feel clean with Him. So, you know, these are the sort of things I heard at altar call and rededication after rededication. How many times I came down the aisle or sat in a camp and, you know, wrote my sins down on a piece of paper and threw it into the fire to watch it burn so that I could be purified at that camp service, only to need one again in a few short weeks or months. And, you know, chapel service after chapel service at a Christian school, and altar call after altar call at a church, and on it went. And how many times can you tell God, I'm really going to do it this time? I'm really going to do it this time, Lord. I mean, you can only, if you're taking that message seriously, you can only survive a few months or years. And that is exactly what happened for me. I was preaching in halfway houses. I was in jails. I was in prisons. I was in halfway houses, airliners, banquet halls, hotel ballrooms, holding crowds of people hostage, meaning shouting the gospel at the top of my lungs and offering an invitation at the end, only to run for the parking lot, jump in my car, and take off before the police showed up for disturbing the peace. And you say, man, that is crazy. That is nuts. Well, it's not that crazy if you heard your entire life that what you're supposed to do is read your Bible, go to church, and share your faith, and that is the formula for getting close and staying close to God. So I did it. I did it more than anybody around me. And I was more dedicated and more committed and more sold out and, you know, more surrendered and all of those things, more broken. You can come up with any terminology you want in today's theologies, but I was sold out, and yet I was dead wrong, and I was miserable, and it didn't work. Why didn't it work? Because it was all about me and what I was doing for God instead of discovering what God had done for me. And I had a focus, a spotlight on my performance instead of on the performance of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I knew that the cross meant I was forgiven, but I thought I was only forgiven for my past sins. And so I was freaking out. What if I commit a future sin? What if I commit too many sins? What if I lose my salvation? What if I lose fellowship? What if God is ticked off? What if I quench the Spirit? What if I grieve the Spirit? What if I don't work out my salvation with fear and trembling? What if he says, depart from me, I never knew you? What if he blots me out of the book of life? What if, what if, what if? So many fears that come from preaching to believers that they should be fearful of God. And so, you know, that's why I wrote the book Twisted Scripture, to untangle those lies that Christians have heard. And, you know, that book is my seventh book, but that's just the culmination of everything that I needed to learn. I needed to learn from the get-go. I mean, start over with me, Lord. Show me where I messed up. And it was not a lightning bolt out of heaven. It was more like 10 years of replacing old thoughts with new thoughts. And at the center of that was the new covenant. And I didn't even know what the new covenant was. I'd been a Christian more than a decade, and I had never heard a single message on what the new covenant is and why it makes all the difference. And so, you know, it was the book of Hebrews. You talk about ministries. I mean, it was a number of ministries, three or four of them back in the 80s, authors, teachers, pastors who I heard talking about the new covenant. And in the process, I fell in love with the book of Hebrews, especially chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I mean, smack dab in the middle of Hebrews, there is a gold mine. And if you have never studied Hebrews, it is the least studied letter in the New Testament. At least according to some surveys, nobody, practically nobody, is studying the book of Hebrews. But in this incredible letter, what you discover is that the dividing line of human history is not at the birth of Jesus. We always say B.C. and A.D., B.C. before the birth, A.D. after the birth of Christ. Well, that's not how history is divided. According to God, the dividing line is the cross. And so I learned that I live on this side of the cross. Hebrews says that a covenant does not go into effect without a death. So under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament came into effect with a death. There was animal blood everywhere, and Moses was the person involved there, and the Old Covenant was inaugurated. Well, the New Covenant was inaugurated not at the birth of Jesus, but at the death of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, you're not going to have a New Covenant. And so then you say, well, why is that a big deal? Well, because I live on this side of the cross. I live under a new covenant. I can recognize the dividing line, and then I can say, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, 100%. And as far as my forgiveness, I don't have old covenant forgiveness. I don't have forgiveness in installments. I don't have forgiveness progressively. I'm not being forgiven little by little. I'm not being forgiven year by year. I'm not being forgiven at a day of atonement. I'm not being forgiven in portions. I have what Hebrews calls once for all forgiveness. And so that was a big deal for me, to know that God had already dealt with my future sins, the sins of 2025, the sins of the year 2030. They've already been dealt with. We as believers are forgiven once for all. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, he has made us perfect forever. So get that, by one offering, 2,000 years ago, he has made us perfect forever. So that's pretty incredible. That is worth knowing. And, you know, another big deal, I would say, was smack dab in the middle of Romans, in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. I started to discover that it wasn't just total forgiveness, it was becoming righteous. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought that righteousness was fake. You know, it was God's bookkeeping. God was an accountant in the sky telling me I'm righteous, but not really thinking I'm righteous. Saying that he would look at me as if I'm righteous, but that I wasn't really righteous until heaven. Well, that's not what Romans teaches. Romans says that we died with Jesus, that we were buried with Jesus, that we were raised up with Jesus, and that we are born of God. John writes that we're born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above. Peter says we're born again. And we use these terms, but we don't think about what they mean. I mean, if the Spirit of God himself gave birth to you, if you're born of the Spirit, then what does that say about you, about your DNA, about your passions, your desires, about your nature, about your identity, about who you are? That you're a child of God, and that's not figurative language, that you are literally born of God, literally a child of God with new spiritual DNA flowing through your spiritual veins. I mean, try to believe that and then 5 minutes later say you've got a deceitful heart. Try to believe that and then 5 minutes later see if you can say you've got a wicked heart. It's not true. We've got Christians thinking they have deceitfully wicked hearts. That is an Old Testament, Old Covenant reference before the cross, before the resurrection, before the born-again experience. Christians don't have a wicked heart. We have a new heart. He took out our heart of stone. He gave us a new heart. Romans 6 says we became obedient from the heart. So no wonder he could afford to forgive us, because he gave us a new heart anyway. People say, well, if I'm totally forgiven, I'm going to just go out and do whatever I want. Well, I hope you do. I hope you do actually go out and do what you really want. Because, Christian, you don't want to sin. You think you want to sin. Yeah, you've got old attitudes and old perspectives and old thoughts coming at you. And we've got a tempter. Yeah, we all do. But you have new spiritual want-tos. You don't really want to sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Do you see that? Do you see how awesome that message is? Well, here at Andrew Farley Ministries, that's all we talk about. All we talk about is the love and grace of God again and again and again. Why? Because there is no greater message. Paul told the Corinthians that they were qualified as ministers of what? Ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And so there is a ministry today. You talk about evangelism. Well, this is what we need to be sharing, the good news of the new covenant, that we live on this side of the cross, and that when we are taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, the incredible riches that we experience in Jesus Christ are just off the charts. You are off the charts forgiven. You are off the charts righteous. You are off the charts new at the core. And when you recognize your identity in Christ, when you recognize your new spiritual passions and desires, well, the whole gospel starts to just make sense. The scales fall from your eyes. You've got something to brag about. You start bragging on the cross, bragging on the resurrection, bragging on Jesus, and whoa, you'll never, ever look back. That's what the new covenant means to me. That's why my inspiration is Jesus himself. And the whole purpose of this ministry is to day in and day out, as long as I have breath, to brag on the excellencies of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us through the cross, through the resurrection, as the mediator of a brand new covenant.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.